Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Here we are. We're through Election Day. Coverage is continuing for many of the races that still haven't been called on the West Coast. And we're full speed ahead into college basketball. So the NBA and NHL returned in October. Now college hoops. And I work with the Columbia women's basketball team. This will be my first full season doing their TV and some of their games on radio. So I'm doing their season opener on the radio on Friday. Excuse me. That's weird. I just choked on nothing. I mean, it's not really funny if it was actually choking. It's just one of the perks of the business. You talk a lot and eventually something gets stuck in your throat. So anyway, I'm starting my first full season with Columbia coming up on Friday, and it really has brought it home in the last couple of weeks, going to practice, going to media day. I mean, it's not technically winter yet, but we're past the point at which we turn our clocks back. Oh my gosh, it gets dark so early now. Holy cow. I remember a year ago, I started waking up earlier in the afternoon so that I could get a walk in with my dog before I would have to use a flashlight. So before it was pitch black in the neighborhood. And I've kind of continued that. It wasn't really necessary during the summer hours or even before we turned our clocks back. So as much as I love getting that extra hour of sleep on the Saturday, the weekend that we do turn the clocks back, wowzers, all of a sudden it is pitch black outside by 5:30. And my mom's in Houston and she said it was dark by 5:40 on Monday. So yeah, we're not technically into the winter yet and the holidays aren't quite here, but man, we are getting there. Welcome to the dark side. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. If you do not have an affiliate close to you, you can always listen online with the radio.com app or a variety of apps. And then you have the option of using SiriusXM channel 206. It's our permanent home on satellite radio. We appreciate that you go to great lengths to follow After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We're inside the Quicken Loan Studios. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. So we've got a few questions. No, I'm not supposed to be looking. We've got some questions already on our Facebook page. I don't see our show Twitter account, so I have no idea what the questions are there. But you can post the questions either on Facebook or on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, and that way producer Chris will see them. And so we're about 90 minutes away from our hump show staple, your fave, your BFF, Ask Amy Anything here on our hump show. And in the meantime, we'll do a little football this hour. I remember at the beginning of the season that what I kept harping on, both to you and just for me personally, is consistency. It's impossible to judge teams until they get out of the first month of the season and we see their true identities and personalities. Now, we got to the midway point quickly, almost light speed, but here we are. We've reached the midway point of the NFL season. Now, in case you're wondering about the numbers, roughly a third of the teams in the NFL still have to take their bye weeks. So you've got, if I'm not mistaken, four teams on bye this week, six teams on bye in week 11, and then maybe two teams in week 12. So we've got 3 weeks left of byes, if I'm not mistaken. In fact, the entire AFC East still has to take its byes. And actually, the majority of the teams that are yet to take their bye weeks are in the AFC. And so with that, keeping that in mind, you actually have the majority of the NFL that has already played. It's already reached that nine game mark.
It's time to have some fun.
So it really does feel like a good spot to be able to stop and look around and figure out where have teams established that consistency, because that's the key to setting yourself apart in your division. And to trying, now it's difficult to create any separation at this point in the wild card races, but to trying somehow get your head above water in the wild card races. And so we had that first month of the season in which there was all kinds of inconsistency, and the majority of what we saw around the league was question marks. And now here we are through the second month of the season, and we do have some answers. Now, there's a long way to go. That's the part that's crazy, right? There's still a full half of the season left. And we're not exactly sure how it's going to play out. You've got plenty of time left for course corrections and complete total derailment. Anything that might be going great now in 4 weeks could be the complete opposite. That is always possible in sports, and certainly in the NFL, where injuries always come into play. You could see more changes, coaching, personnel, and we could also see some drama. But speaking of that, did you happen to see on social media there has been a Le'Veon Bell sighting in Pittsburgh? I didn't go and look at the link or open it up. I wasn't sure if it was clickbait or not, but someone swears they saw Le'Veon Bell in Pittsburgh. Okay. I'll believe it when I see it. As in, he's back with the team in their facilities and is ready to put the uniform on. He has until November 13th to not forfeit the entire season. Yeah, someone took a picture of Le'Veon in a Pittsburgh suburb where he was playing basketball at a local fitness club. That's all I know. Apparently a rapper spotted him and took a picture. Oh my gosh, you can't make this stuff up. He did bid farewell to, was it Miami? He did bid farewell to South Beach. So you would suspect then that he was on the move, but the Steelers still have had no contact with him and time is running out. And the Steelers play Thursday. They play Thursday night football against the Carolina Panthers. Just like Joel Quenneville, and really any coach in any professional sport, there's no such thing as untouchable or irreplaceable. It's all about what have you done for me lately? And that's been played out with the Pittsburgh Steelers. And so as I was writing my weekly football column, I do that on Tuesdays. It's posted. You can find it on Twitter, A-Law Radio. It's pinned to the top of my Twitter page and also pinned to the top of our Facebook page when you go to send your questions for Ask Amy. As I was going through some of the storylines that stand out to me that I feel like have characterized the first half of the NFL season. How many questions did we hear about Le'Veon Bell? He's an AWOL superstar, and yet it was nonstop questions to the point where I don't know that it was divisive in the locker room, but definitely a distraction. Divisive would probably be a stretch, but definitely a distraction. You can imagine the guys got super tired of answering questions when they didn't have any information. Coach Tomlin certainly did. And now here we are. The Steelers have settled. We're not hearing locker room drama. We're not hearing about guys throwing tantrums. Instead, we're hearing about them winning and the fact that they're on top of the AFC North. The fact that they've been able to string together a bunch of wins, including a big victory on the road at Cincinnati, where, let's be honest, they do dominate, at least recently. But that's how quickly things can change. It was all about the lack of a Le'Veon Bell, and Antonio Brown's unhappy, and Ben Roethlisberger's not playing well, and the defense sucks, and Mike Tomlin this, and Mike Tomlin that. And now it's quiet because they're winning. So once again, winning does cure a variety of ills. Yeah, Le'Veon Bell, I would never call him an afterthought. He's exercising his independence as a professional athlete, as an American. This is his choice. He wanted to save some pounding on his body. But into that void stepped James Conner.
Focused on the guys that we have here working right now.
Do you know that James Conner, I'm sure you know this, Coach Tomlin, do you know that James Conner is on pace to have 2,100 yards from the line of scrimmage?
Oh, yes.
And In addition to that, he is saying, I will carry or catch the ball as many times as you want. He says, I'm built for this. I'm physically built to take this kind of pounding. The offensive line is playing well, which is great. Even if you do have a quarterback who's built like a tank, he's still an older guy. And so the Steelers settling and their defense playing better, that's completely the opposite of what we had in the first month of the regular season. We also had a team start out 0-3 that's now leading its division. How about the turnaround for the Atlanta Falcons? Now, as I was going through some of the recent trends, I looked at the schedules, not quite to the point of the College Football Playoff Committee, where I'm actually diagnosing strength of schedule. Because a win is a win is a win is a win. So there's no need to do that. However, it is important to consider how these win streaks and how these records were built. And so as I was writing my column and I was going through some of what we've just seen and what we have to come, I was checking out schedules. And so that part was really fascinating for me. I'll give you one example. The Los Angeles Chargers, they're flying under the radar, right? They're steadily improving on defense. And we know that Phillip Rivers is having one of the best first halves of his career. So far, it's one of the best seasons of his career. 67% completion rate. But here's the caveat with the Chargers. They're in the midst of an 8-game stretch when all but one of their opponents has a losing record. Now, you only play the guys that are on your schedule. This is not college where you can alter your schedule. The NFL takes care of that. It's all built in for years down the road, except for the mini flexibility based on your record from the year before. So the Chargers are in the midst of 8 games in which only one of their opponents has a record better than 500. Nerd alert! No wonder they're playing so well. And they're not the only one. And so I was looking at the recent trends at the halfway point and also looking ahead to what we could see in the third month of the NFL season. And I would love to get your feedback on the column. So check it out again on Twitter, A-Law Radio. I know producer Chris, we retweeted it. And then also on our Facebook page, it's pinned to the top of both of those social media sites. So you can find it easily when you send your questions for Ask Amy Anything. We've got some QB news. The Cowboys are responding to the uproar. And by the Cowboys, I mean the owner and the general manager, Jerry Jones.
Oh, yes.
As well as head coach Jason Garrett. Could he possibly get Hugh Jackson treatment in the middle of the season? I guess we could now add Joel Quenneville to that list. That doesn't seem fair. 3 Stanley Cups, no Super Bowls. Okay, not fair. He could get the Hugh Jackson treatment. Could he? I know there's a lot of fans out there that would like to see it. I could hear the uproar from my house on Monday night following the game. As I said, I was mopping, an emergency mopping of my kitchen while Monday Night Football was going on. And as I was thinking about it, I wasn't sure if I wanted to be here or I didn't want to be here. I was so tired. I'm not making this up. I worked a 27-hour stretch, like literally between commuting and working 2 jobs, 27 hours in a row from Sunday into Monday afternoon. And I was too tired to even think about the craziness and how upset Cowboys fans would be over what happened on Monday night. However, Amari Cooper looks good. I'm all in for the Amari Cooper. I'm just here for Amari Cooper. Anyway, so we'll hear from Jerry Jones, Jason Garrett, after one of the Cowboys Hall of Famers called for a complete overhaul of the organization. So a lot to do. In the meantime, again, find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, Football Chatter, and then on our Facebook page, and send your questions for Ask Amy Anything while you're at it. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
The Home Depot Foundation's annual Celebration of Service season has begun. Join the Home Depot to help improve the quality of life for veterans. Visit serveveterans.com for more information on how you can help in your community. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. And speaking of veterans, you know how NFL Films puts together an audio track for every weekend of games? And I had mentioned that there was a 102-year-old veteran who was on the sidelines for the Patriots game against the Packers on Sunday night. And I didn't know a whole lot about him, only that he was 102 and that he was there with a family member and that he was a veteran of World War II. What I didn't realize is it was his birthday. And so I found the video. NFL Films released this incredible video. It's so sweet. You guys will love it. This 102-year-old man who is there as part of the NFL's salute to service is on the sidelines with, I don't know, I'm assuming it's his grandson. It looks young enough to be his grandson. Maybe it's his son. Either way, he's there with a family member and Bill Belichick walks by. And there's this really adorable exchange. Coach Belichick is so nice to him, not that he wouldn't be. But it's another side of Coach Belichick that we don't often get to see as members of the media or fans of the team. And so I'm going to retweet it right now so you can watch it. I know producer Chris will retweet it as well. But really, really awesome that he took the time to make this man's day. It's more than just the fact that he is a veteran and being celebrated, but that personal touch, awesome. So check it out on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS. And also, you can send your questions for Ask Amy Anything there. And don't forget, and just by retweeting this video with Coach Belichick, you retweet the hashtag salute to service, and the NFL automatically donates $5 to its nonprofit military partners. So we're talking about nonprofit organizations that support military members, their families, and veterans. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. It was so, so cool on Tuesday evening to hear my older niece do her first radio show. It was so cute. I couldn't help but smile every time I heard her voice. And believe you me, I sat through some music that I do not prefer to hear my niece do drop-ins over a two-hour period. Now, of course, she knows what I do for a living, although she's completely unimpressed. Recently, she was, I guess it was last holidays or maybe the year before, she was pulling this one of her tunes on me. And she was big timing me, right? Because she was busy with her Snapchat or I don't know. She was something to do with her friends on her phone. And I made the sarcastic comment, Deanna, your Auntie Amy is the most famous person you know. She's like, whatever. But they do listen to me on the radio when I do special games. They like to watch me do basketball games on TV. And so they're very supportive. They know what I do for a living. I'm glad they're unfazed by it. I would rather be their auntie than be, you know, a sports radio host or a national radio host. But it was awesome that she sent me a couple of texts on Tuesday afternoon and said, would you like to listen to me on the radio this afternoon or this evening? I was so happy. So I just finished writing my column and I was able to listen online. I turned on her campus radio station in Charlottesville. She goes to UVA. And I was so tickled. It made me so happy. She did her little research. She had the state in history. She had some album facts and, you know, a heads up about a special anniversary album for one of the artists that she used. She also played, she had a theme, an animal theme. How great is that? So all of her songs, again, a genre of music that I don't even understand. I think it's independent music. But all of her songs or the artists that she played had an animal in the title. So she was organized and she had planned out her playlist. She was filling in for another duo that normally does this time slot on the campus radio station. And so she was very organized and she even took a request from one of her friends that I know from home, which was kind of funny. She read a text from her friend and played a request, a song called Winnebago. It was actually kind of catchy. Thankfully, the Winnebago does not make that kind of a noise. But she did play a bunch of songs about elephants. I had no idea there were so many songs about elephants. And she also, what else did she do that I was so impressed by? Oh, she had a 3-song set that was throwbacks to artists who had album releases, like some major albums on this date in the past or this week in the past. So, for instance, she played some Led Zeppelin off their album 4. It was some special anniversary for that album. This is not my kind of music. I'm not super familiar, but she played some Men at Work, which is funny. I had no idea my niece Deanna knew what Men of Work was. Men at Work was. So I was really proud of her, and I sent her a text. And as always, when you're complimenting someone on some work that they've done, whether TV or radio, it's always important, in my opinion, to give them specifics. And so I had specifics in my text that I sent to her, and I just told her how proud of her I was. And she wrote back this, actually. I almost got teary-eyed when I read it. Thank you so much, Auntie Amy. That means a lot coming from you. So I guess she does know what I do for a living. Anyway, it was really sweet. So I'm proud of my niece. It dawned on me that my first ever radio experience was also my senior year in college. And I was hooked. So I also filled in for another host who was doing a sports radio show. And in the history of my college, I was the first female ever to host a sports talk show. It was an hour. I was terrible. I remember I pronounced things wrong, which, you know, I guess some things never change. But I wasn't good. I'm glad. I'm so thankful there was no social media or any type of a tape. Although I feel like it would be really funny to go back and listen to it now. And so I was reminded that I did my first radio appearance when I was a senior in college, and I wondered if she would get the bug. Probably not. She's in the engineering department, so, you know, the girl's got bigger goals, like impactful goals for her career. But still, it was awesome to be able to share that experience with her. And I even told the rest of the family because I wasn't sure that she had shared it with them. And my mom writes back. She's like, this is not really our kind of music. Well, duh. You're not listening for the music. You're listening for your granddaughter. Anyway, it was really cool. So that was a neat part of my Tuesday. The not neat part of my Tuesday was the fact that my dog had to go out 18,422 times in the pouring down rain because she's sick. I mean, better that she goes out than she stays inside. But the poor thing, she's always got so much energy and she's so happy. And Australian Shepherds have notoriously sensitive stomachs. And for anyone who has an Aussie, you know this. I didn't change her diet at all, but we did travel over the weekend and someone gave her, you know, a different kind of treat. So maybe that's what's triggering this. She also had there was another dog at the place where we were staying, and they were sharing a water bowl. Not because I wanted them to, but just because the dog kept drinking out of her water bowl. So I don't know if something maybe gave her a bug, but yeah, my house, my poor house, we're the sick house. My cat was sick when I got back, and then my dog. But yeah, poor Penny. She just has this awful look on her face every time she has to go out, like, I'm in pain, mama. And, you know, there's not much you can do other than just make her comfortable and check on her. And she didn't eat all day, which is also very strange for my dog.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You're the colonel. You're going to command your troops tonight. You understand?
Snap the deck. Fade right side of the end zone. Touchdown! It's a touchdown!
Mariota, play fake. Looking. Floats it downfield. Touchdown! Tight!
Fires for the end zone. Touchdown! Ben with a terrific job to feed that ball.
He's working himself in a position to play.
From the shotgun.
He's done a good job in out here in practice.
And score!
Goff stands in. He whips it to the two. Touchdown!
There's a wobbly pass down the middle. It's a backpedaling, falling down chest high, heavily covered touchdown catch.
Oh, baby, what a throw by Stafford!
It's time for QB News on After Hours.
There is always news about the quarterbacks revolving around the quarterbacks because life revolves around the quarterbacks in football, right? They get way more of the credit than they deserve, and they absorb far too much of the blame when they don't deserve it. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. In the wake of the Dallas Cowboys falling to 3-5 on the NFL season and losing at home to the Tennessee Titans, that's a gut punch for sure. But they're now third place in the NFC East. Only two games back of the Redskins, the division is still wide open, but it was a painful loss to absorb, and anyone and everyone associated with the Cowboys is coming forward with an opinion. Jerry Jones, Jason Garrett, both making their weekly appearances on various radio stations, including 105.3 The Fan, which is our affiliate in Dallas. But it was Hall of Fame quarterback Troy Aikman who raised the most eyebrows with his suggestion about what needs to happen for the Cowboys if they don't somehow dramatically turn things around in the second half.
I talked to people who have been inside the building and have a pretty good understanding of how things are run. And in a lot of ways, there's a lot of dysfunction. And that has to change if this team is going to be able to compete on a consistent basis like the teams that you look to around the league that seemingly are in the hunt each and every year.
So Troy Aikman on 96.7 The Ticket in Dallas points to the dysfunction of the organization and says, I talk to guys who are inside the franchise, which, by the way, he's extremely familiar with Jason Garrett because they played together. Garrett was a backup quarterback with the Cowboys. So he was a quarterback in the NFL. They're close friends, but he's become critical of Jason Garrett like many others have. Here's the issue, though. Aikman points to Jerry Jones as the constant and talks about all of the different ways that the personnel has changed, the coaching staffs have changed, points to a variety of changes since he was playing for the Cowboys. And yet Jerry is the constant. He's been the GM since 1989. Now, he certainly relies on his son, Stephen Jones. They've got a player of personnel. They've got Garrett, who's involved in personnel moves. But Jones is a lot more involved than what most owners are when it comes to decision-making. Is that a positive? A lot of people would tell you no. But you know what? When the team does well, then people are all in on his aggressive moves. Now, we'll hear from him a little bit later on when it comes to making changes to the team mid-season. Maybe it's not what you want to hear. But since we're doing QB news, what about Dak Prescott? This is obviously not the same quarterback. His numbers are not the same. He doesn't operate the same as his rookie year. And there are a variety of reasons and explanations out there. But what about Dak Prescott as the quarterback, as the face of the franchise for Jerry Jones and the Cowboys?
I think Dak is capable, very capable. Let me say this just right for you. He is completely capable. I didn't know that 2 years ago, but he is capable of looking at what the situation was last night, looking at a throw like he made in the back of the end zone for the interception. You don't have anybody that's more capable to look at that and take it to the practice field and take it to learn from that for the next ball game.
Is he your quarterback for the next 10 years?
Listen, Dak is the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys. He's young, and he's going to get extended.
So that's a definitive answer from Jerry Jones to the crew on 105.3 The Fan, where Jerry does a weekly appearance, and they asked about Dak as the quarterback of the future, and he said he's going to get extended. He's the quarterback. He's young. He's going to get extended. Yeah, he's in his third season. And, of course, after that first year in which he took over for Tony Romo, the sky was the limit. But not nearly as efficient. His QB rating is down. The decisions are different. A lot of it has to do with the targets. I like the connection he already has with Amari Cooper. The offensive line is not the same either. So things have changed around him as well. But sometimes I look at his decision-making and I think he doesn't trust himself or maybe the guys who are around him. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We've got a quarterback change in the Bay Area. I'm not sure it matters, but if Nick Mullins continues to play the way he did in his NFL debut, hey, the San Francisco 49ers could be headed for the Super Bowl, right? Yes, Kyle Shanahan has decided that C.J. Beathard will remain the backup, and Nick Mullins will get his second start in the pros.
It was very exciting. You know, the best part about football is competing with your teammates, and I think if you watch the film, all of us had fun playing together, and that's what it's all about. I'm a believer in the more reps you get, the more efficient you'll be. And I think that'll definitely help. You know, last week it was a lot of cramming for this team. You know, we had walkthrough practices and, you know, just trying to get our bodies right before you could even get your mind right almost. So definitely the more reps will help. And I think we're excited to attack the week and see what the Giants present us.
Remember, it was such a short work week for them because of what they had been through, like the turnaround, going, not knowing about C.J. Beathard, having to start Nick because of an injury to C.J., but also having, what, 3 days to prep for a Thursday night game, and yet he gets his Twitter account verified. I mean, sky's the limit for Nick Mullins, right? The undrafted free agent in his second year with the Niners, 16 of 22 on Thursday night, 262 yards, 3 touchdowns, no sacks, no turnovers. That was the part that I was most impressed by. And he will be starting again moving forward here in this upcoming week 10. So taking the place of CJ. Again, this is all about the difference, you know, waiting for Jimmy Garoppolo. It's maybe a difference of a win here or a win there. It's not optimal, but it's kind of fun to think about what Nick Mullins could do moving forward. And remember, George Kittle had this incredible, incredible game as well. Career highs for him. So it was like highlights and career highs all around for the San Francisco offense. And he gives you an insight into this Niners huddle.
Nick was fantastic in the huddle. It was really fun. He's kind of funny, too. He's like, he comes across as serious, but like sometimes he'll like talk to Coach Shanahan in his ear. And it's kind of funny. So, it's a good huddle. And he was really good. He took good command over it. Also got us a couple laughs. It was awesome.
I mean, why not? Thursday night football, primetime, under the lights. Nick Mullins, who? You might as well laugh while you're playing football. It is a game, after all. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So, a quarterback change again for the Niners. And whatever wins they might pick up, whatever experience Nick Mullins might have, it's all good because Jimmy Garoppolo is not able to play. You can't just cancel the season, as disappointing as it was. Mentioned that the Ravens are on a bye this week and are actually not practicing at all. They're taking a break. That includes their quarterbacks. Amidst turmoil, that's the word that I saw online and that I heard on Tuesday referring to the Ravens. Amidst turmoil, John Harbaugh has made an unconventional decision about what the team should do during the bye week.
We will not practice. We're not going to practice tomorrow or Wednesday. I know that we're better off resting at this point. I think our guys have been hard at work at it through a long training camp, and it'll be good for us to get an opportunity to get off our feet and get our legs back. So I'm looking forward to that.
Here's the funny part. When I saw the headlines, it was about Harbaugh giving the team time off from practice because they just couldn't stand to be around each other because there was drama. They needed a break from being in the same room together because they were driving each other nuts, and this is a combustible combination. They're still meeting. They're still watching film. They're just not practicing. So you can believe whatever you like. Is there turmoil? Probably. The team is in a really brutal stretch right now after starting out 3-1. But is it the end of Harbaugh? Is it death to the Ravens and their season? Let's not go that far yet. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Let's do one more piece of QB news. Kyle Lauletta, he will not start for the Giants coming out of their bye week, despite the fact that there was talk Eli Manning might get benched, and this could be the end of Eli with the Giants. Of course, they're in a brutal stretch themselves with just one win. But then Lauletta goes and gets arrested for disobeying a cop and nearly running another one over, and the Giants have had to deal with that.
I do recognize that, you know, those cops have a very difficult job, an important job at that. You know, I've seen that intersection when there are no officers, and, you know, it's very chaotic. So, you know, I respect those guys, and I can't say, you know, I'm sorry enough about what happened.
He's working himself in a position to play. He's done a good job in out here in practice, and, he's a small school quarterback, and so there was a lot to learn, and there is a lot to learn about how to prepare in the NFL, and he's going through the process of doing that.
No, 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 no. This has nothing to do with the transition from being a small school quarterback to being a pro football player. All you need to do is obey the cops, those cops as he called them, and obey the signs. You're not special because you're a member of the New York Giants. Stop it. Stop acting like this was part of his transition. What? He nearly ran over a police officer. He's lucky he's not still in jail. Okay, maybe that's a bit much, but still, this has nothing to do with being a small school quarterback who's transitioning to the big time. However, the Giants will not start him moving forward. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, some QB news. And CBS's Super Bowl season continues with an exciting doubleheader Sunday. Tom Brady and the Patriots head south to take on Marcus Mariota and the Tennessee Titans. Then in the NFC West, it's the Seahawks and the division-leading Los Angeles Rams. The action kicks off with the NFL Today, presented by Jeep at 12 Eastern, 9 Pacific on CBS.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.